Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Wednesday, October 30th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. I apologize for the absence. I apologize for the one-day absence. I was not here yesterday on the 29th to give you guys a Clap Your Hands Morning Update. I had to run back home. Family situation. You guys know how things go. Had to go help out the parents with something. So I do apologize, though, because I know a lot of the faithful kind of went to their podcast feed, went to the Clap Your Hands profile, didn't see a Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update. And then, you know, the sky kind of fell yesterday. I don't want to say it was because we didn't set the tone or set the day off with a good update, but you see what happens when we don't. So I know you guys aren't here for the excuses and the reasons why. Just know that I don't plan on doing that too often, if ever again. During the regular season, between me, Elliot, and Jack, we will have a morning Clap Your Hands update from here on out. But make sure you're following me on the podcast on Twitter, because I was still tweeting yesterday. A lot of things went down yesterday, and I was still making sure I was active on the socials at JimmyJ23 on Twitter, at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter as well. Because if you haven't been under a rock, me and the Clap Your Hands accountant, Elliot Short Parks, and Jack Fritz, we've been hard at work talking about a lot of Sixers news the past couple of days. I'll get to that in just a little bit. You guys know how we do. It's a game day, so let's break down the agenda. We're going to go through the schedule. I'll go through scores around the league, injury updates, general news. Then I'll take a break. On the other side of that break, I'll get into some analysis, my three things to watch for as the Sixers take on the Pistons tonight. That's the schedule. That's what we got going down. It's a game day tonight against the Pistons at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. So if you're able to get down there for the Sixers' second home game of the season, go and get down there. If not, the game will be at 7 p.m. You can watch it, I'm sure, on NBC Sports Philadelphia, as we always do. But make sure you're following along and checking out the game, the second or first of two games this week for the Sixers. They play again on Saturday as they take on the Grizzlies. So the return of Tobias Harris, the return of Paul Reed. The two Sixers home games this season have seen familiar faces come back to the Wells Fargo Center. Doc Rivers came back with the Bucks, and Toby and B-Ball Paul come back with the Pistons. I'm interested to see how Tobias Harris is accepted by the home crowd. I'm sure Paul Reed will get whatever kind of claps Paul Reed gets. I'm sure Tobias will have some kind of little video tribute, and I don't know. I'm eager to see how the fans greet Toby's first game back since departing from the Sixers. I won't speculate, but I don't think it'll be Hakuna Matata being sung when Tobias Harris gets introduced in the starting lineup. So 7 p.m. tonight against the Pistons. Let's go to scores around the league for teams that have to do with the Sixers. Really only one in action last night. That was the Brooklyn Nets. They lost to the Denver Nuggets 144-139 in OT. High scoring game, but in OT, the Nets lose. Jokic continues just his, I'm not going to lie, his tear that he's on. 29 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. This comes after he just dropped back-to-back 40-point games, and now he has a triple-double, right? Dropped 41 in a losing effort against the Clippers, and then dropped 40 in a win against the Raptors. 40-10, that is, against the Raptors. So, not going to lie, Jokic is in very good form right now, playing tremendous basketball. The Nuggets get another win. Dennis Schroeder led the way with the net for the Nets, 28 points, 14 assists. Cam Thomas had 26 points himself. We know about early season Cam Thomas. He's still scoring. Brooklyn moves now to 1-3 on the season. No one really expects much of the Brooklyn Nets. So 1-3 is not too surprising how they start the season. But that is, you know, the only team kind of in the Sixers division that pertains with the Sixers that was in action last night. We move to injury updates, and this is not open-ended, but this is one of two parts. you guys must know by now, to this injury update. So Joel Embiid and Paul George have been ruled out for tonight's contest against the Pistons. They have been practicing. They will be reevaluated this weekend, says the team. Sixers play again, as I said, against the Grizzlies on Saturday. So we will see if the reevaluation comes before that or after that, and if they, you know, what their status is for that game. But it came out yesterday that Joel Embiid and Paul George will not be playing against the Pistons, which everybody thought would be kind of a good opportunity for PG and Embiid to make their season debut, considering it's back home after the kind of the first chunk of games of the season against a low risk team, right? Against, you know, a low caliber team like the Pistons. But alas, the Stars are still not ready to go. On the Pistons front, Asar Thompson is still out dealing with an illness that dates back to last season. The fifth overall pick of the 2023 draft had a season-ending blood clot at the end of last year and still has yet to make his season debut dealing with that. So Asar Thompson dealing with a situation that it is not light. Is not kind of treated and cured easily, and something they very much have to monitor. He's still not in full contact participation in practice. So that's a big hit for the Pistons and kind of one of their building blocks for the future. So Asar Thompson still dealing with blood clots. Also forward Bobby Klintman is out with a calf issue. So Pistons got two people on their injury reports as well. Sixers not the only people who have people out. Got to remember that. All right. Time to move to the news. The news that was heard all around Philadelphia yesterday. The NBA has concluded their investigation into Joel Embiid's participation with the Sixers to start the season. The league fined the Sixers $100,000 for public statements around the health status of the All-NBA Center. The statement from the NBA reads as follows. The NBA yesterday fines the Philadelphia 76ers $100,000 for public statements, including president of basketball operations Daryl Morey and head coach Nick Nurse, that were inconsistent with Joel Embiid's health status and in violation of NBA rules, including the league's player participation policy. The league's investigation also confirmed that Embiid has been unable to play in the 76ers' regular season games this season due to a left knee condition, and therefore the games he's missed have not violated the player participation policy, end quote. So basically what the league just said to us is the Sixers aren't lying to us, the league. They're lying to the fans, right? They're not misleading the NBA and organizations within the NBA per their injury report. They're misleading the fans per the injury report, per the health status, per the updates of Joel Embiid. That's what the league kind of found in their investigation, right? They're not being punished because Embiid sat out those games, because he should. To them, he should have sat out those games because they found that he's actually hurt. He's actually dealing with a left knee condition. They got fined because they lied to the public and made the public believe that he was okay and that this was just either precautionary or part of this so-called plan that we heard so much about, which is just false, which the NBA has just told us is just not true, right? This wasn't part of the plan. Embiid's hurt. They're looking at the situation and they have deemed it that Embiid actually has a health condition that requires him to sit out from these games, that he physically should not play in these games. Therefore, he's right to sit out. So whether or not the Sixers did this for, you know, good reason, whether to kind of shield the fans from stuff or not panic the fans, which, Let's be honest with ourselves, please. Let's just please be honest with ourselves. Even if they did it for those reasons, they still lied to us. They still misled us. And I'm not sure how we're supposed to feel about an organization that time and time again mishandles this situation. Not just mishandles situations, not just mishandles situations of a specific category, handles this particular situation, the health of Embiid, and the dissemination of information regarding Embiid's health. Like, this goes back years and years now of us not being able to just get a straight up answer. Of us just not being able to know how our center is doing truthfully. And in this season, I'm not sure when we were going to get the straight up truth, right? Just time and time again, misleading us to the point where the only time we get the truth is when the feds issue a statement, right? Is when Adam Silver and the league kick down the front door, go through all the filing cabinets and go through the database and figure out what really is going on with the Sixers, and they tell us. Right? Like, that's the only time we got the truth, is when the NBA said, okay, enough is enough. This doesn't make sense. We're going through it and investigating it. And when they found their results, they issued a statement to the public and found out. So, yeah, I'm frustrated. Like, yes, this is beyond frustrating to me. And I was one of the ones who tried to be optimistic up until, like, last week. Silly me. Right? I was trying to tell everyone, be patient. This is an April thing, not a November thing. Little did I know, I was getting played in my face by my own organization. So, yes, I'm frustrated. Nick Nurse was asked about Joel Embiid's participation in practice and his updates before the statement was issued by the league, and he declined to answer questions after answering two of them very briefly, saying, you know, you guys got the updates from the team and whether he's going to be out or not of what's going on. And I'm sure he was told to keep everything very close to the vest, knowing that one, the Sixers just got this punishment, and two, that a statement from the league was coming, you know, in a matter of minutes, hours, whenever. So while I have frustrations with Nick Nurse over the situation, I do feel for him a little bit, because I do think a lot of the situation is out of his control. Right, I do think a lot of it he can't control, but still, I'm just frustrated. Let's also be clear. I don't think the NBA is really fining the Sixers for misleading the public or just for misleading the public, right? But more that the misleading of the public led to two stars not playing on opening night on a nationally televised game. That's where the league got mad. Right? We put y'all on Kia opening night, hashtag Kia opening night, Kia NBA tip off. And your two stars didn't play because y'all have been, you know, trying to do this whole allusion to your fans and everything. They didn't like it. So you mess with Adam Silver's money and he's going to come for yours. It's just simple as that. All right, I can't talk about this anymore. I'm too frustrated. That's all I know about this situation. That's all there is to know about the situation. Hopefully the Sixers learn from this and just tell the truth moving forward so we know what we can expect from at least Joel Embiid. I'm going to take a break because I need one. On the other side of this break, I get into my analysis, my three things to watch for as the Sixers take on the Detroit Pistons tonight at home. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. I'm calm now. I've calmed down. I yelled so much that my neighbor's dog started barking next door. So I apologize to Cecil, who I've alarmed with my screaming. But the Sixers frustrated me a little bit. But we move on, and now it's time to talk about game day. Before we do, make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the podcast at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter as well, especially for game days, man. Pre, during, post, we got analysis coming, tweets, stats, everything, observations, everything. So make sure you're tuned for that. Let's get ready for this game tonight with my three things to watch for the matchup tonight against the Pistons. The first thing I want to watch for is a little in-house keeping, right? The lineups that we've been rolling out and the lineups that Nick Nurse has been going with in these first three games. I just want to see who he goes with to start. We'll probably get that information a couple hours before the game, but it's no surprise with, you know, his two star players being out, or two of his star players being out to start the season, that Nick Nurse has been toying with the lineups to start. The Sixers have already started 7 different players this season. That number is going to go up to 9 when PG and Embiid come back eventually, whenever they do. So it's just, it's something to monitor. I do think that Nick Nurse is obviously still trying to find which lineup kind of works and gets him off to the best start. But I also think he's trying to figure out who's going to be, you know, that main person, that first person that comes off the bench. And, you know, if you want to have a good six man, that's going to affect, you know, what you do with your starting lineup too. So all that into consideration when Nick Nurse rolls out his starting five. And I think it's all centered around, how do we get the best out of Maxey to start the game? How do we make Tyrese Maxey the most comfortable? What personnel, what packages are best with him to start the game to allow him to get off to the best start so our team can get off to the best start? We know he's been struggling, and any way to make his life easier to start the game is better for the team. So on opening night, it was KJ Martin and Eric Gordon to start in the starting lineup with Tyrese Maxey, Kelly Oubre, and Andre Drummond. And then that moved Caleb Martin to the second unit. And Nick Nurse, you know, you heard me talk about how Nick Nurse liked that spark that Caleb Martin brought to the second unit. Well, it seems like he wants that spark in the starting lineup moving forward. In the 2 games since, Caleb Martin and Kyle Lowry have been in the starting lineup. The overall stats in the game have been pretty similar, honestly, but the difference is are the starts. And that's what I think Nick Nurse is noticing most in these changes and why he went to the change. Against Milwaukee, obviously only scored 23 points in the first quarter. The 2 games since, against Toronto, 31 points in the first quarter. Against Indy, 28 points in the first quarter. So looks like the starts are a little bit better. And, you know, obviously digging ourselves in that hole against Milwaukee, which is too much to climb out of. Toronto, obviously that 31 points helped it a little bit for the game. And then Indy, that 28 points, and just imagine how much harder that comeback in Indy would have had to be if, you know, that first quarter was started even on a worse foot. So Eric Gordon also, for what it's worth, had his best game as a Sixer coming off the bench in Indiana. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what lineups Nick Nurse kind of rolls with to start the game. It'll have to do with the second thing that I'm looking for in this matchup, is how the Sixers are going to guard Cade Cunningham. If there was a reason that Nick Nurse wanted to kind of move the starting lineups for this game, Cade Cunningham would be the reason, right? The Pistons don't have a lot of things going for them, really, but they do have Cade Cunningham, and he is a bright spot on their team. He's probably the top building prospect, top building block for the Pistons, not a prospect anymore, top building block for the Pistons. And he's going to make a push for the All-Star game this season, averaging 26.5 points per game, 7.5 rebounds and 7.5 assists and 5.8 rebounds per game. The Sixers starting backcourt is Tyrese Maxey and Kyle Lowry. Not exactly the biggest and most stout backcourt, especially when it comes on the defensive end. So we'll see, you know, who draws this assignment, whether, you know, they move Caleb Martin up from his swing spot and guard Kelly Oubre and make him kind of guard and use his length on Caleb Martin. But if it's the same starting lineup as the past 2 games, then it's going to be Tyrese Maxey and Kyle Lowry going out there as the 1 and the 2. The Pistons are not a small backcourt. Craig Cunningham at 6'6", and Jaden Ivey, who's next to him, at 6'4", who also averages 20 points per game as well. So how they guard Cade Cunningham is going to be very interesting to me, who they start him out on and kind of, you know, who they move on to him. We're going to monitor that as they go out, because if there's a way the Pistons get going, if there's a way you give the Pistons hope, it's you let Cade Cunningham start to cook. So let's shut him down and let's shut the Pistons down. Pretty please. The last thing I'm looking for the Sixers to do is to continue to win or to not lose the turnover battle. It's one of the oldest sayings in sports, right? Whoever wins the turnover battle wins the game. And while that maybe isn't 100% true for the Sixers to start the season, it's still something that they have to keep on their side and something that they have to make sure that they're doing if they want to give themselves the best chance to win these games, especially with no Embiid and no PG. The Sixers need as much help, as many extra possessions, as many things going wrong, the ball bouncing their way, them going to get the ball, as much as they need without their stars. They can't afford to even give the team more possessions than they have, extra possessions than they have right now, because the margin of error is too small, right? They don't have the ability to make up those kind of mistakes without two of their three biggest stars. It's just the margin of error is just too slim right now. So here's how the turnover splits have gone to start the season. Against Milwaukee, they won the turnover battle 14-10. Against Toronto, they also won the turnover battle 27-16. And against Indy, they tied the turnover battle 20-20. Just as important as winning the turnover battle is keeping their turnovers down, right? Though turnovers got to be, you know, below 15, even, you know, in the 20s, I don't like to see. So below 20, below 15 in that range is what I'm going to want to see for the Sixers. Play smart basketball, play efficient basketball. Don't turn the ball over, take it away from the other team. And you do that, and you set yourself up, you just put yourself on the right foot to win these games. And that's how, you know, lesser teams, that's how teams who are worse than you, that's how they beat you. They turn you over, they get you out of your character, they get you doing things that you don't want to do and kind of play down to them. I don't want to say that the Sixers have to make teams play down to them, but talent-wise, they're at a little bit of a deficiency right now. So that'll help them. But against the Pistons, this is a team you strap up against, you bully a little bit, you get yourselves back on track, you win the turnover battle, and you beat and have a good win at home. So let's see if the Sixers can do that. The Pistons are not a team that they should have really a tough time doing that against. The Pistons currently ranked 7th in the league in turnovers. The Sixers are 14th, kind of right in the middle of the pack when it comes to turnovers. Those are the three things that I'm watching for tonight. The lineups for the Sixers, how they guard Cade Cunningham, and let's keep winning that turnover battle, especially against the Pistons tonight. Let's go get a dub tonight. That's all the time I have. Thanks for joining me on your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update. As always, until tomorrow, I'll see you guys in 24 hours.